Did you know that every 39 seconds, somewhere a hacker tries to get their hands on something that isn't theirs? According to Security Magazine, in the time it takes the average person to snap a selfie and post it to Instagram, the next hack has already taken place. In fact, according to the Breach Level Index, hackers steal 75 records every second. To put that in perspective, in 2020, it's estimated that cybercrime will be twice as profitable as the illegal drug trade. Keeping your information private and confidential on the internet is a tall task, it seems, these days. In fact, the concept of cryptocurrencies is derived from the fact that confidentiality is king. And while cryptocurrencies may seem like they're completely anonymous, the fact is, with a little bit of skill and the right information, hackers can trace crypto transactions back to their original source, meaning confidentiality is not guaranteed. But is there a solution? Well, there certainly is. Privacy tokens. But what are privacy tokens, and how do they protect the identity of crypto transactions? The founder and managing partner of Chicago Crypto Capital, Brian Amoah, has the perfect guest. Stay with us.
You're listening to the CryptoCast from Chicago Crypto Capital, your destination for a better understanding of the wild world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. The material provided is for informational purposes only. You should not construe any such information or other material as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Investing in stocks, exchange-traded funds, mutual funds, and money market funds involve risk of loss. Invest wisely. Now back to your hosts, Jeff Carlin and Brian Amoah, on the CryptoCast from Chicago Crypto Capital.
Welcome in again to the CryptoCast with Chicago Crypto Capital. I'm Jeff Carlin. With me always, Brian Amoah from Chicago Crypto Capital. And today, Brian, we've got another good topic, I'd like to say, and I say they're all good, but this one is one that I don't think I really understand, so I'm looking forward to learning some more.
Basically, the whole essence of privacy tokens, if you look at the original cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, there is some issues with privacy and the fact that the whole chain is, most of it's been identified. You can go back through it. You can see what transactions have been done. It's very transparent, but if you're trying to conceal your identity or trying to conceal transaction, it's not the best platform to do that.
Who do you got with us today to help us out?
So we have Asher Corson from Consolidated Trading.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
good
Asher,
to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Brian introduced the topic really well. Essentially, the problem is that the first cryptocurrency that was invented and launched and is now the biggest cryptocurrency by far, Bitcoin, the one that everybody knows and everybody talks about the most, unfortunately doesn't have really good privacy features. And more, even more unfortunately than that, the privacy features have sort of been eroded over time, as Brian referenced. And the reason for that is that the Bitcoin blockchain has a tremendous amount of identifiable information on the blockchain. And that identifiable information includes who coins are being sent to, who is sending them, and exactly how much are being sent. So literally every piece of information about a particular transaction is public on the Bitcoin blockchain for everybody to see. Now, while those addresses, those public addresses and private addresses, are really complicated series of symbols and numbers that don't really identify a person. You know, you wouldn't say, oh, that's Brian. The problem is you now have companies that are really sophisticated that have been able to figure out at that granular of a level who a particular wallet actually belongs to. And then once you're able to do that, you're really able to basically see what every single person on the Bitcoin blockchain is doing. And a lot of people aren't comfortable with that. And that's why privacy coins and privacy tokens have sort of become a major thing in the market.
And when you talk about that, identifying, you know, somebody's wallet, we've seen stories where there have been, you know, horror stories where people have been tracked down and had their entire, all their technology, like all their computers and stuff stolen, seemingly their wallets, or like you hear these horror stories about guys losing millions of dollars in Bitcoin because a hard drive was taken from them. I mean, it sounds like it makes it easier, it did in that case, without that privacy, to track that person down and physically get them, where that sounds very, very dangerous. So how do you fix that?
So that's a great question. The need for privacy within the cryptocurrency space has then led various groups of people to try to attack this problem in different ways. And there are a variety of different approaches, and there's a variety of different solutions. And really, you know, the main point that, you know, I'm here to make today is that there are some really exciting things being done on the privacy front, but the truth is none of it is really sufficient yet. And every solution that's come forward, people have gotten excited about it, and then in the end, it's turned out that it's actually not been as good as we had originally hoped. And this has happened over and over and over again. It's happened with the king of privacy tokens or coins, which was Monero. It's happened with Zcash. It's happened most recently with the privacy coin that I've publicly spoken about how much I love, Grin. And a major vulnerability was exploited on Grin that basically exposed all the transaction data. And the developers are trying to downplay that. But the truth is it defeats the purpose of the project. If your privacy isn't perfect, it doesn't exist at all.
And especially in a modern world where, you know, everybody has that in the back of their mind that, you know, am I safe? Because so many people, you know, one of the stats is it's like 3 in 5 people have their information out there and they're hacked or they're spoofed on something. What do you recommend for somebody who wants to get into this technology? How do they protect themselves, or where should they at least begin?
That's a really, really hard question. If you're talking about protecting yourself as a Bitcoin holder, my recommendation, and this is actually the opposite of what most experts recommend. Most experts recommend that every person should control their own keys and their own wallet. I think the idea that the average consumer is going to be able to protect their keys better than a military-grade corporate infrastructure, I think is really, truly absurd. So what I would recommend is that if you're new to this industry, I would work with a trusted wallet provider like Coinbase who can hold your tokens for you. It's a known brand. It's a legitimate brand. And frankly, they're going to do a better job of securing your tokens than most people are capable of.
This kind of takes a target off your back. If you all of a sudden become a huge mover in the base, you know, no one else is going to see that it's you, you know, Joe Schmo living on Smith Street. It's going to be Coinbase. That's going to be the front for you, essentially.
Exactly. Coinbase is going to hold it in a wallet that's theirs. It will have nothing to do with you directly until you take it out of Coinbase.
Excellent. And Brian, for Chicago Crypto Capital, what are you guys doing in this space?
We generally deal with best practices. Like he said, it's very hard. This is still a new technology, and with these repeated vulnerabilities, it's very hard. And this idea of this technology to save us all, it's just very hard to get to that. You can reduce the amount of risk you have, like he said. So we will help people like with custodial solutions, with wallets, those sort of things. We are not purely a security company in that sense. We're not going to go in there and secure your tokens for you, but we can help you with a custodian, match you up with the appropriate solution for you personally. And like Asher says, a lot of the times is, you know, you want to be with bigger companies. They're investing a lot of money in defending themselves and staying up on top of the technology. Average individual over here doesn't have the time, and most of their engagement with this isn't at the, we don't have clients who are maybe government entities or something that need to be protected. Generally, they're people who want to, you know, perhaps put some money in the cryptocurrency, or perhaps, you know, hold them for one thing or another. And their individual privacy needs don't rise to that. But we are looking at this space, and the reason we had Asher in there is because at the core, you know, cryptocurrency, you know, the promise was a new private future. And just because it hasn't been here, it hasn't been achieved, you know, we're always trying to make sure we keep abreast on that portion of the technology.
I think that that's exactly the point, actually. And I couldn't agree more with what Brian just said. This was originally supposed to be one of the main promises and one of the things that people were hoping for. And then when the reality set in that we were able to actually track who these wallet addresses were back to actual humans and companies, it created this need. And what I'll say is, just because we haven't figured it out yet doesn't mean we won't. In fact, I'm very confident that we will. And the reason all these projects that are coming up to resolve this really important problem are so important to look at is because somebody is going to figure this out eventually. And that's going to be a really important moment in not only cryptocurrency, but finance and in the human history of finance. It'll be really the first time that you can do a truly private, decentralized transaction. The one other point that I really wanted to make about this is, just because a vulnerability or an exploit hasn't been discovered in a particular project doesn't mean that your transactions on that platform aren't vulnerable. So what I mean by that is, when the Monero and it doesn't, the details of it don't matter, but when the Monero ring signature vulnerability was exploited, people who had done transactions before that exploit were vulnerable to having their transactions unshielded. So what I'm saying is, you know, you could be chugging along on what you think is a private blockchain and what you think are completely anonymous and private transactions, and then some exploit or vulnerability gets discovered 5 years down the line that could unmask everything going back. So my true advice is, do not commit crime on blockchain. Just don't.
Yeah.
Because even if you do it on the best privacy tech, it might one day get found out. So, I mean, it's really, I'm saying this from what I believe to be good technical advice.
And talking about that, you know, the history of this, somebody, I imagine, you know, let's go back to like a medieval times where you got somebody who's got a bag of coins riding through a forest and a bunch of guys stop him and take his coins. Okay, they move forward and you got banks that could get robbed. I mean, there's always a risk involved, but the idea that this is, we're moving towards that point where at some time you're going to be able to move your money, move your assets however you want, and nobody's going to be able to get in the way of that.
And remember, a lot of this isn't maybe necessarily someone taking money from you or hacking, and that's usually the first place we go. But, you know, privacy to a lot of people right now is, what are you buying? And that's a very personal thing. It's probably, you know, outside what you eat, maybe who you, and even with that, how you're spending money deals with, you know, most relationships will go down with what you spent your money on. I'm sure there's probably a lot of marriages that have dissolved because of a lack of privacy and what they were spending their money on. But it's a very private, it's a very private thing in a sense, you know, and you see this with other outside and social media. We're seeing this too, how valuable our data can be, or the Sony hacks and your purchase history. It can reveal a lot of stuff that you may not necessarily want to be. So it could be a lot of situations where you're vulnerable, where you didn't lose anything. No one came and stole it. But if someone hacked into your bank account and started looking at all of your purchases, didn't take a dollar, you'd feel very violated, and the damage from that could be immense. I mean, we've seen political careers go down, relationships go down, friendships, whatever, have gone down because of that lack of privacy. So it's more than just losing money or being stolen or that sort of thing. Privacy is, it's in essence, it's who we are individually. And deciding on what aspects of our lives that people get to see, you know, that's where the privacy coins come in.
Brian had originally talked about the promise of crypto and the promise of Bitcoin. Part of the real power here, you know, we're very lucky, but if you find yourself under the thumb of an authoritarian government and you need to flee with your family, you're not going to be able to take your bags of gold with you, and you're not going to be able to take your bank account with you, and you're not going to be able to take your diamonds with you. You're going to be able to take your crypto with you. Let's say you're a dissident and you're taking your Bitcoin with you. Well, you're not truly anonymous in that. So part of the promise of true political freedom that this is meant to provide, it's really not attained until we achieve this privacy.
Oh, excellent. Well, I think we'll probably leave it there for today. But Asher, where can we learn more?
The projects that I would recommend that people look into are Monero and Grin are the two privacy coin projects that I personally think are the best, even though
there's risk.
They're not still perfect. Risk, yeah.
Excellent. And where can we learn more about what you do?
So I work at a trading firm called Consolidated Trading, and you can learn more about us at consolidatedtrading.com.
Excellent. Brian, as always, ChicagoCryptoCapital.com. That's where we want to go to find more of these podcasts, of course, and learn more about the crypto world. Anything else you want to add in before we say goodbye?
No, that's it.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the CryptoCast from Chicago Crypto Capital.